Good morning, it's Ballarat Today here at 3BA with Brett Mack, and it's time to talk tech with the original and best net nerd, Mr. Jace Squires. G'day, Jace.
Good morning, Brett. How are you on this fine Tuesday morning?
Well, mate, I'm fine. I didn't expect to be seeing you today, so this is an added bonus.
Absolutely. Out of the blue. Total shock. We'll take it and just hope it doesn't happen again. But, yeah, that's probably not the reality of it, sadly. As much as I try to think positive, that's... I think
you're right, mate. Most of us are thinking, yeah, look, it'll probably happen again, but you're right. Mm. Let's stay positive.
Let's stay positive.
It is what it is.
It is what it is.
As our radio philosopher would say.
And it's not what it's not. So when it is what it is and it's not what it's not, it can't be anywhere in between.
You've gone to a whole new level this morning, Jace.
I know.
Let's get back to your area of expertise, and that is tech. We're going to talk virtual reality shortly. We're going to give you some really handy advice too when it comes to recovering your email account. First up, though, while a lot of businesses are contracting at the moment, Google are saying, we're going the other way.
Yeah, they're doing a 180 with this whole office expansion thing. Now, you would normally think with an office expansion, okay, they're looking for a bit more room. They want to tear down that wall, open up a bit more space and really get the place jiving. Well, nah, they are going tier two with this one. And they're looking for a whole new office area over there in Silicon Valley. So by the Bay Area, San Francisco, they are looking to put in what's called a data center. And that's focused solely on the hardware that they are making. So you probably find a new outlet for their phones over there. You'll also find a lot of the other hardware that they're working on behind the scenes that's secretive to the public. But yeah, very interesting that they're looking for a whole new major. I guess Google being, you know, just a couple of dollars in the bank in reserve, they've probably got the money to go say, well, no, we're not going to tear down that wall. We're going to rent out a new place until we own it, and then we'll open up a third and fourth and a fifth. So a very big expansion. I guess that's good news for Silicon Valley and the tech industry in general.
Interesting to note too, Jace, if you notice Google advertising on telly at the moment. You think if there's one business that didn't need to advertise, you know, everyone just says, oh, Google it. But they're advertising.
Yes, absolutely. I guess it's part of their marketing spend. They just want to make sure their name is out there and make you aware that they're not just the kings of search. They've got all sorts of other services happening. They've got their Gmail accounts. They've got their Talkspace in Google Plus, and they've got all sorts of other things. And very soon they will have a data center, which will hopefully take into account all the hardware. So that's a very big move by Google, I would say, and it's a very interesting space to work in now.
Jace, for users of OneNote, you've got some great news this morning.
Absolutely. When you're working with the desktop app or perhaps the portable OneNote app on your devices, Microsoft have come out only a little bit in advance saying that over the next 12 months, they're going to be rolling out some upgrades to combine those two to give you more features, but also put a fresh new sleek look on the OneNote app, because I'd have to say it's probably not the most appealing app they've ever designed, but it does what it needs to do, and it's one of those things that it is what it is, and it's not what it's not. And at the moment, they're going to try and take it from what it's not to what it could be in another 12 months' time.
Why so slow?
Interesting. I think that's just, okay, they want to test things. They want to get it out there now that they're working on it, but then bring out the tests, roll out the public betas, and then find all the bugs that, of course, don't exist in Microsoft software, and then work from there. And I probably shouldn't say that sarcastically, because there's always bugs in software. No one's perfect in the programming realm, but I guess over 12 months it'll give them time to perfect the final product, and hopefully this time in 12 months' time we'll have a new, fresh-looking version of OneNote that can help in so many different areas of life.
Jace, in our day-to-day lives, whether it be work or home, we're all using emails these days, and sometimes we have a bit of a whoopsie and can't get into our account. You've got some general tips this morning on how to stop that from happening.
Absolutely. There's always the good old secret questions and answers, whether they be 1, 3, 5 or more. Should always write those down somewhere safe, because when you do that, they are case sensitive. So a capital is different than a small. A space will add as a character. So it can be difficult even a few weeks, let alone months or years down the track, to remember a password. So if you haven't already, set up your secret questions and answers. It will probably stop someone else coming in perhaps a workplace to override the power, but also alternative backup email addresses. So see if your email account has the ability to send off a reminder to an alternative email address. And of course, there's also now the ability to send off a text to your smartphone if you happen to forget. And of course, you should always have your smartphone on you, so that text should be delivered in real time. It'll allow you to recover your email and get on to sending the boss that promotional email about why the pay rise should be coming through.
Do you know my mother's maiden name?
No.
Damn.
I could probably take a stab at it. There's only so many surnames out there, but yeah.
Let's move on. Chase, virtual reality, you spent a bit of time in this segment talking about it, and when you think about it, you think about those clunky goggles and you can't see people's eyes.
Yeah.
But Facebook have fixed this little problem.
They have developed a service that they call Pass-Through, which will now allow you to see and experience the reaction of someone using virtual reality goggles.
Wow.
So you will actually be able to see a transparent version of their eyes through the goggles, and all of the things that the goggles confuse the brain into thinking that it's seeing that it's physically, well, absolutely not seeing. But that's the whole idea behind virtual reality. So if you want to do an online Google search and find out what these virtual reality headsets look like, there are some pretty funky looking images out there of checking out someone's eyes, because normally you would sort of be looking at their whole body reaction.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
You know, oh wow, am I actually seeing that? And like the, you know, when someone's trying to touch something,
yes,
that's obviously,
yep,
not there. It's a whole different landscape when you can see their eyes and their actual facial reactions.
Yeah, so, okay, so not drawn on, not painted on. These are their actual eyes.
These are their actual
eyes.
So the goggles are transparent. You can see,
wow,
right through to their core raw reaction. Very interesting.
This is Tech Talk, and this is Jace the Net Nerd on 3BA. Now, we've all done a bit of a whoopsie moment when it comes to sending emails, Jace. Gmail to the rescue.
Absolutely. And this is a pretty cool option. When they first did the undo, now Gmail aren't the only app floating around on the web that offers this. They offered that 10-second window, you know, when you can, you know, hit the send button and go, oh, that wasn't supposed to go, or you've hit the reply all instead of just reply, and 99 other thousand people get the email that you,
yep,
wanted only one set of,
yep,
eyes to see.
Yep.
Well, it got put up to 20 seconds. Now it's a 30-second window,
okay,
from the folks at Google. So if you realise that you've been sending that, typing out that email for months to the boss about that promotion, and the language has gone beyond friendly and has sort of gotten to the point where he's not going to tell you, he or she's not going to take it well, you've now got 30 seconds to retract it and then perhaps approach that particular conversation a little bit more diplomatically.
But you do have to opt in, Jace, to,
yes,
this,
absolutely.
Yeah.
So you need to go into your settings and,
yeah,
change it to 30 seconds and then obviously save and agree to the terms. And, yes, 30 seconds to hit undo after you've hit send and potentially save some much unwanted, unnecessary avoidance of embarrassment that might come your way.
I think some of my colleagues might need longer than 30 seconds, just quietly. Jace, let's move on to a question time. We all have come across QR codes more than ever before, I guess, because of the checking into businesses.
Mm-hmm.
You've got a question from Alexander on that topic today.
Yeah, right. In it says, hey, as a small business owner, can QR codes be created and used with any type of info?
Okay.
Well, yes, they can, Alexander. They can be used and created with any type of data, because that's all basically that image is holding is any kind of data. Now, whether that be an address, like a URL, whether it be a PDF, whether it be just simply a name and a number and a street address. But what I would suggest is if you're a small business owner, you'd probably want to approach the Victorian government in this particular instance and get them to create one. Because if you do use the services Victoria, it has the ability to determine whether the QR code was Victorian government generated and handed out or not. So anyone can generate one. They're very simple to do. But if you don't have it generated and accredited officially from the Victorian government, then it's not going to be of much help with the contact trace. It won't be included in their database. So in this case, the answer is yes. But from a small business point of view, I'm glad he put that in the email. I would recommend Alexander approach the Victorian government. Just say, hey, can you supply me with this? These are the details I want in it.
Yep.
So that way it's all good and well from the contact traces. But if you wanted a second one there to just advertise something else within the business,
just like your menu or something.
Yeah, absolutely.
You could do that.
Yeah, absolutely. Put the menu up as a PDF and then people can come in and QR code that while they're there once we're out and about and able to be free.
Mm.
And then, of course, they can browse that on their phone as a PDF that they've downloaded through the QR code system. So there's nothing stopping you having 2, 3, 4, or 10.
Mm.
Depends on how creative you want to be, I guess.
Good advice, Jace. I think we'll keep you on, you know. I think,
excellent.
Yeah, just out of probation,
so,
I think we'll keep you on.
So renewing the contract, signature on the
No, it didn't go that far. Jace, let's bring it home today with one of your famous did you knows. You also always dazzle us every week. What do you got this time?
I know. On May the 4th every year, we pay homage to International Star Wars Day with May the 4th be with you. And this video, it was the second teaser trailer from the Star Wars franchise, The Force Awakens, on its first day in YouTube. 112 million views. It was the biggest first day in YouTube so far. 24 hours to hit 112 million views. And you wouldn't expect anything else from the Star Wars universe, would you?
It's funny, it's just the second one, though, isn't it? I mean, yeah. I wonder what the allure of that movie was.
When you're talking about the Star Wars trilogy, obviously the first three that were made were actually episodes 4, 5, and 6. So it started with A New Hope, and then George Lucas, of course, wanted to make 1, 2, and 3 into movies. So the first three that were released were actually 4, 5, and 6 in the book series. So I guess when 3 had happened, and then, of course, he was, no, I'm not making any more, and then sold the rights to Disney. Of course, at that stage, there was just so much hype about 7 and The Force Awakens. It was like, oh, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? And that just generated so much. And, of course, $1 billion at the box office. Yeah, it was always going to happen. So it doesn't surprise me, 112 million.
Thank you, Obi-Wan. Jace, that is Tech Talk. We'll do it again next week, my friend. Catch you then.
See you then.